Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60. Listen for God's word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is God's word for us this morning.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. Let us listen for God's word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I told the kids when I was growing up, Christmas wasn't really over in our house until January 6th, or Epiphany. At some point, my mom had read about Father Frost and the Snowmaid, who come from a Russian Christmas tradition. They usually appear either on New Year's Day or the Russian Christmas, which is often on January 6th, and they bring goodies and gifts for the kids. So although it wasn't as big a deal as Christmas morning, my brother and I were always excited to wake up on January 6th and to check our stockings one last time before we packed them away for the year. Now, although the rest of the world has completely moved on, we Christians are still celebrating Christmas. Depending on which tradition you go with, today is either the 10th or the 11th day of the Christmas season. Did anyone's true love give them 10 lords a-leaping or 11 pipers piping today? And this Tuesday is Epiphany. Epiphany is one of the oldest feasts in Christianity. In the Eastern Church, it has been celebrated since the 2nd century, long before Christmas was even established or celebrated. Epiphany literally means the manifestation or revelation of God to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. The Eastern Church associates this with the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, which we will celebrate next week. But the Western or Latin churches that we come from associate Epiphany with the story of the Magi visiting the baby Jesus. The Magi were the first Gentiles or outsiders to recognize who Jesus was, God in human form, and to worship him. In most of our churches, this story usually gets rolled into the earlier celebration of Jesus' birth, After all, the Christmas pageant just wouldn't be complete without three wise men and a camel, right? Over the centuries, this story has been so well integrated into the larger Christmas narrative and so steeped in tradition that we have often lost sight of the story itself. This morning, as we continue our Christmas celebration, let's take a closer look at these last disciples around the manger, the Magi. So for all of you Bible trivia folks out there, let's see what you know. Who actually came to visit the baby Jesus? Were they A, kings, B, wise men, C, both, or D, neither? Any guesses? Well, they probably weren't kings. That part of the legend arose about 200 years later when the early Christians used Psalm 72 and our passage from Isaiah to interpret the Christmas story, to show how even the kings of the earth would bow down and worship Jesus as Lord. Our Bible calls them wise men, but if you really want to be picky, they were called magi, which more accurately translates as astrologer or magician. In the ancient world, astrology and astronomy were one and the same discipline, and magi were considered the astrophysicists of their day. So how many magi were there? We don't know, and the Bible really doesn't say. Tradition assumed that because there were three gifts, there must have been three magi to give them. But that's nowhere in the Bible. I once saw a cartoon that considered the more practical side of this story. In the cartoon, in the frame, in the distance, you can see the stable radiating the glow of holy light with the star perched over it. Three camels are parked outside, and robed figures approach the Holy Family bearing gifts. Mary exclaims, "Diapers, wipes, blankets, finally something we can really use." And the caption underneath read, "The three wise women visit the manger." But regardless of how many and who they were, wise men or women, kings or scientists, the story of Epiphany is really the story of a journey. So before we take down the lights and degreen the church and pack up the Christmas story for another year, let's follow the star to Bethlehem one more time. Somewhere in the east, in Persia, in the far reaches of the Roman Empire, three scientists, all working independently of one another, made a surprising discovery. One night in the dead of winter, each one happened to be looking through their telescopes when all of a sudden they were knocked off their feet by a light so bright it nearly blinded them. After adjusting their lenses, they saw that it was a star that didn't appear on any of their maps or charts. In fact, it didn't even seem stationary, but looked like it was moving. Its light was mesmerizing. As it twinkled and shone, it seemed to be calling out to them, "Follow me." The next morning, at their weekly meeting of PASA, the Persian Association of Stargazers and Astrologers, clearly an early forerunner to NASA, the three scientists excitedly inquired whether anyone else had noticed such a celestial anomaly. But everyone else was more interested in how to interpret the king's latest dream and who should be elected as next year's PASA president. The three scientists found each other, however, and agreed to get together that very night to search for the star again. Sure enough, that night the star shone brighter than ever. "Follow me," it beckoned. "I know what you're looking for. Follow me." "I know what you're looking for. What are we looking for?" they murmured to each other. After all, they each had a thriving practice in stargazing, fortune-telling, and dream interpretation. They were part-time consultants to the king himself. They had devoted their lives to science and were well-respected among their peers. They had paid their dues at the local temple and were in good standing with the local gods. What else could they possibly be looking for? Still, the star's light beckoned to them. "Follow me. There is more. Follow me." Three pairs of eyes schooled in stargazing with years of experience reading the heavens, three pairs of eyes clouded with puzzlement. What could this mean? A celestial sighting like this often meant that something big was about to happen or had already happened. Had there been a major shift in power in the empire, a great battle won, a new king born? Yes, that must be it. A star this electrifying, this magnificent, this miraculous, it must announce a new king, a king greater than any the world had ever known, a king worthy of their worship and devotion. So at that moment, the three magi made a rash decision. They would leave that very night to go and find this new king. So they closed down their respective offices, packed up their camels, and started off onto a journey into the unknown. The journey was long and tiring. The Magi traveled for months over deserts and across the seas. They saw strange people in strange lands, some friendly and some not so friendly. No one seemed to have heard anything about a new king. If it hadn't been for the star shining faithful and true every night, the Magi would have given up and turned around weeks ago. The long journey gave the Magi time to reflect on their lives and to ponder the star's message and what sort of king this might be. They talked about the various kings and government officials they had known and worked for, how prone to political intrigue and corruption they were, how wrapped up in their own agendas to the detriment of the people. And the Magi hoped that the new king would bring justice. As they traveled through war-torn lands, one wise man remembered how war had ravaged his own family and thrown his homeland into poverty and oppression. He hoped that the new king would bring peace. Another wise man recalled the deep wounds that he had received at the hands of jealous colleagues and selfish friends. He hoped the new king would bring healing. The third wise man remembered his lonely childhood abandoned by his family and how he had thrown his life into his career because, unlike people, the stars were always there for him. He hoped the new king would bring love. As they traveled, each wise man realized that he was looking for something more, something bigger, wider, deeper, something beyond themselves, something to believe in. And so they journeyed on, with the star shining before them. One day, months after they had left home, the Magi came upon the outskirts of the holy city of Jerusalem. They had heard legends about the beauty and splendor of the holy city. Surely they would find the new king here. So they asked around and went to the royal palace to seek an audience with the king. As soon as they saw King Herod, however, they knew that he was not the one. After traveling in the star's bright light of truth for so long, it was easy to see the dark shadows lurking in Herod's eyes. He was just like all the rest of them, corrupt and conniving, greedy for power and wealth, concerned only for his own well-being. Of course, Herod was immediately suspicious about the purpose of their journey and any threat to his rule. He made them promise to come right back and tell him the whereabouts of the new king so he could go and worship him too. The Magi couldn't get away from Herod fast enough. He made them feel used and dirty. That night, the star shone bright as ever and beckoned the Magi on. A few hours' journey south of Jerusalem, the star stopped over a little town called Bethlehem. The Magi were so excited they thought they would burst. After months of traveling, searching, hoping, the star's mystery would soon be revealed. They made their way through the narrow streets and humble homes. It was not quite where they expected to find the king above all kings. But they weren't about to stop now. Finally, they came upon a lowly hut on the outskirts of town. There were a few sheep and goats and chickens in the dirt yard. They could see firelight flickering softly in the window. Could this really be it? How could such a modest abode shelter the king who was going to change the world? And yet the star had stopped directly above this meager home and was bathing it in heavenly light. The wise men climbed down off their camels, They unpacked the precious gifts they had brought for the king. It was so quiet and still around them that the air practically vibrated with the excitement and anticipation they felt. They walked up to the door and they knocked. A man opened the door, and although the shock was evident in his eyes, he invited them in. What those old stargazers saw when they entered the hut filled them with such joy they could barely stand it. It warmed them to the center of their being. It lifted them up to the height of ecstasy, and yet they had never felt so grounded in something solid and real before in their lives. Where some would have seen just a baby boy sitting on his mother's lap, they saw holiness in human form. When they looked into the babe's eyes, they knew it was true. The hopes and fears, the hurts and hates, the dreams and prayers of all the world were met in this little baby. The Magi were filled with faith, for they had found what they were looking for. They had met God face to face. Later, when they left the hut, the wise men noticed that the star was gone, but they were not concerned. Who needs a star when you've just met the light of the world? And these disciples around the manger, they went home by another way, knowing that their lives would never be the same again. In this Christmas season, we too have seen the star, and each one of us is on a journey. What are you searching for in 2015? What risks are you willing to take to find it? What gifts do you bring with you on your journey? Are you willing to follow the star to unknown lands and into an unknown future? And how about our church? What are we searching for as we move forward into this new year, this new model of pastoral leadership, this unknown future full of possibilities? What gifts do we bring to our mission and ministry together? What risks are we willing to take as a church to follow the light of the world? On this Epiphany Sunday, the light of the world shines for all to see. God is calling each one of us through that light, follow me. We only need to look at where the star stops. In the words of Scripture, around the Lord's table, in the community of faith, in serving others beyond our doors. And there, we too will meet the light of the world. As disciples who have gathered around the manger and who are now headed home by another way, a new direction, may we too be filled with glad tidings of great joy, with good news to share, with the light of Christ shining in our hearts and leading us forward every step of the journey. Amen.